Our scripture reading today is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read verses 8 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's begin reading in verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Do people prophesy today like men did in Bible times? Are people able to speak in tongues like some did in New Testament days? Are preachers able to miraculously heal people in our day, like we find the healings being done in New Testament times? Are men today able to work the same miracles that we read about in Bible times? When we have questions like this, the only way to fully settle those issues is to go straight to the Bible. And if the Bible addresses those questions and it answers those issues, then those particular matters are settled. And so let's look at this passage, which happens to be the clearest and the most direct passage in the Bible on the issue of miracles and the question of whether miracles continue to our age. Now, one thing is exceptionally clear, and that is in verse 8, Paul said that these miracles would come to an end. Notice the contrast again. He says that charity, that is love, will never fail. It never ceases. Love never ends. Love is permanent. But, which indicates a contrast, he says that prophecies will fail. That is, they will cease to be delivered and made. Tongues, that is, speaking in tongues, will cease. And knowledge, and that is miraculous knowledge, that is the spiritual gift of knowledge, that he talked about in chapter 12, that was a miracle as well. And Paul said that likewise will vanish away. So there's no question about this then. Paul said that these miracles would end. And so the only question that we have left is, when did these miracles end? When did these spiritual gifts that enable these people to perform miracles, when did those gifts cease? And so we pick up in verse 9. We looked at verse 8 in the previous lesson, and now we're ready for verse 9. Here Paul said, "For we know in part." When he says we know in part, he's talking about knowledge that comes by the miraculous gift of knowledge. This is what Paul called the word of knowledge in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. This is miraculous knowledge. He's not talking about ordinary knowledge in verse 9. He's talking about knowledge that was specifically and directly given by the Holy Spirit through this gift. Now, he says that we know in part and we prophesy in part. The prophesying there came from the gift of prophecy. So these are miraculous gifts, and he says that we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now, what does in part mean? Well, it means that these gifts of knowledge and prophecy and speaking in tongues and these other gifts were partial sources of divine revelation. Now, remember, the New Testament was in the process of being written at this time. You couldn't go anywhere at the time that Paul wrote this and pick up a completed New Testament. Much of it was yet to be written. And so how did these people learn the gospel? How did they know the doctrine of Christ? Well, that's where these miraculous gifts came in. These miraculous gifts delivered the Word of God to the early church. And so some of the Word of God came through prophecies. Some of the Word of God came through those who were able to speak in tongues. Some of the doctrine of Christ was delivered through the Word of knowledge, and so on. And so together, as a whole, these avenues of these spiritual gifts provided the entire message of the gospel. So try your best to picture the situation in the first century. Try to put yourself in the shoes of these people that Paul was addressing. If you had lived then and you wanted to learn the teaching of the gospel, you had to depend on those with these spiritual gifts. And we're not just talking about one gift, we're talking about several. And also, we're not just talking about one man that had the gift and all of the message was delivered through him. At Corinth, there were several people who were prophets. There were several people who were tongue speakers. And so some of the message came through one tongue speaker, and some of the message came through another tongue speaker. Some of the message came through one prophet, and then other parts of the message came through another prophet, and so on. And so some, that is part of the divine message, came through one, and some, or part, came through another. Now, that's what the Bible means when it says, "For we know in part," that is, there were those with the gift of knowledge, and part of the revelation came through them, and we prophesy in part, that is, part of the message came through those prophets. So this system of delivering the Word of God through these inspired men was needed and did work for a while. But there was a need for a single, complete source that would be immediately available to all and which would become the permanent source of unity for the church. So the point to keep in mind is that Paul is talking about how the Word of God was communicated. At this time in which Paul is writing, it was being delivered orally. And so we need to continually be reminded of this question, and that is, what purpose did these gifts serve? Why were they given? Why did God give the gift of prophecy, the gift of speaking in tongues, and the gift of knowledge? It wasn't just to impress people, although it did. It wasn't just to put people in awe of God's power, which it did. But the purpose of these gifts was to teach people. It was to convey and transmit the word of the new covenant during the years before it was completed in writing. And so the word of God was the same then as it is now. It had the same teachings that we find recorded in our New Testament, but it's the form that was different at that time. And this, Paul said, was about to change. Now that's where we come to verse 10, to a very important passage, because here's where the Bible addresses the question, do miracles occur today, and are these spiritual gifts available today? Verse 10, Paul said, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Now, here is the answer to the question, when did these miracles end? Paul said, they would end when that which is perfect is come. The word perfect here means complete. Not in part, but complete. Not perfect in the sense of being without a flaw or without a fault or without sin, although that's included as well. But the idea of something being perfect here is in contrast to in part. Notice that. Verse 10, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." So the perfect thing here, whatever it is in contrast to what is in part. So what we find then is this: both the perfect thing and that which is in part convey the same message, they just do it in different forms. So what came in part? What came partly through the prophets? What was delivered partly through the tongue speakers? Well, it was the Word of God. Again, that's the whole context here. He talks about prophecies, he talks about tongue speakers, and he talks about the gift of knowledge. All of those were means by which the Word of God was communicated. And he says those things were in part. Well, that means that the perfect thing here must be the Word of God. Not the spoken word of God, and not the word of God delivered partly through an apostle, partly through a prophet, and partly through a tongue speaker, and partly through somebody that had the gift of knowledge. The word of God was delivered through these and other gifts at different times and at different places. But, he says, that is going to vanish away. That is going to be done away with when the perfect thing is come. And so if what is in part refers to the delivery of the Word of God in this partial form, that is, in part, then that which is perfect, that is, the complete, whole source, must refer to the completed form of the New Testament, that is, a whole, complete, permanent form that is written. And so that which is perfect refers to the completion of the New Testament. In James 1:25, the Bible refers to the New Testament as the perfect law of liberty. In Jude verse 3, the Bible says, "The faith, that is this gospel, was once for all delivered to the saints." So what happened when the New Testament was completed? What happened when the New Testament was completely written? Paul says the in part thing was done away. And what was in part? These miracles, prophecy, speaking in tongues, the gift of knowledge. He says we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, all of these gifts, these miraculous abilities, will be done away. That happened when the New Testament was completed. So notice after this that Paul gives two illustrations of the point that he's making. Now again, the point is that the gospel was delivered through these oral means, through these miraculous gifts, for a temporary period of time, and they lasted until the New Testament was completed. And once the New Testament was completed, then Christians in general, as a whole in the church, had access to all the revelation of God. They didn't have to go to these tongue speakers anymore. They didn't have to go to these prophets anymore because they had the New Testament. And I'm not saying that the New Testament epistles were all compiled into one document or one book form immediately. But what I am saying is that they were accessible. They had been delivered. And so Paul gives us two illustrations of what he's saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. The first illustration is maturing from childhood to adulthood. Notice verse 11. "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." Now, why is Paul talking about something here that we all know? We all realize that when you're a child, you grow, and when you become an adult, you shouldn't act like a child anymore. Why is he introducing that? What is the connection between what he's been talking about and that illustration? Well, it's simply this. The church was in an infant stage at this point. The church was in a childhood period of its existence at the time that Paul is writing. The church was new. And so to help the church out, and anytime you have a child, and especially an infant, that child or infant needs special care and special help. And the church at this stage needs that help. It needs special help or special assistance. But the gospel needed to go forth, and God equipped the church with these miraculous gifts in order to unify the church and to spread the gospel to every creature. And so Paul uses that as an illustration. He says that just as a child grows into adulthood, and once he grows into adulthood, he doesn't act like a child anymore. In the same way, the church had these miraculous gifts, these spiritual gifts, that help the church to get on its feet, and once the church grows into maturity, Paul says that those gifts would be put away, and he's referring to those miracles that we've just studied. The second illustration is in verse 12. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." There Paul is talking about the difference between looking in a mirror and looking at the actual person or the actual image. So the image in the mirror represents the spiritual gifts and how the Word of God was conveyed in part through those gifts. And the actual image, face to face, represents the completion of the New Testament. And in the next lesson, we're going to deal with some questions and some objections to what we have looked at in this passage of Scripture.